Welcome to the doubled up podcast.
Welcome to the doubled up podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast, the weekly podcast talking all things trainers, sneakers, kicks, creps, whatever you call them, wherever you are in the world. I'm Matt, and with me, as he is every single week, is Scott. Scott, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. How are you?
We're doing all right. Hey, it's nearly the weekend. Obviously, by the time everyone listens to this, it would have already been a weekend, and everyone's recovering from the Monday blues by, of course, listening to this podcast. But yeah, it's been a week, Scott. It's been a week.
It has. It's been, yes, just another week in the books. Another busy, busy, busy week.
Another busy week.
That I already need to have a lie down from.
Well, hopefully it's going to be hey, look at me transitioning straight into sneaker talk already. We're only 45 seconds into a podcast and I'm already trying to make this sneaker related. Well, hopefully everyone listening to this podcast will be having a happy, busy week because, Scotty boy, the day this episode drops, it's the day before Air Max Day. And I'm sure there's going to be some people that are excited. Some people are probably moaning that they're not happy, that it's not living up to the hype. And Air Max Day brings about a whole mixed bag of emotions. I'm sure sort of when we record next week, we'll be a couple of days removed from Air Max Day and we'll be able to really give our thoughts and opinions on how we thought the day was. But it's looking quite good this week. I've seen a few, looking quite good this year. I'm not 100% excited about any of the product. I know we've got a lot of the DNs that we spoke about last week, and there might be one or two pairs that we talk about in Double Up Double Down this week, so we won't spoil the upcoming releases. But I've seen some cool little sort of events popping up. I know there's normally sort of events that people can attend, but I've seen a few different little sort of pop-ups being mentioned on Instagram and things like this. So I think overall, that's the one positive thing about these days, right? Is that there's always some sort of engagement now with the community or whatever you want to call us sneakerheads. So I'm kind of excited to see how everyone's experience is there.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of an odd one, Sneakers Day, because obviously Air Max Day, not Sneakers Day, everyone is, by the time everyone's listening to this, there will have technically already been somewhat of a Air Max Day release of what happened, because the Big Bubble University Blues will have, Royal Blues, sorry, University. You can tell, honestly, I was yawning before we even started this. My brain's
halfway
there. He is
a sleepy boy,
there.
Guys. Really sorry, listeners. Scott is a sleepy, sleepy man today, so we'll have to perk him up.
Yeah, but the Royal Blues, the Big Bubble Royal Blues will have released tomorrow, but a couple of days ago
The Friday before this episode releases. The Friday
inception.
Before this episode releases, yeah.
But it is a bit of a strange one, because obviously it's kind of last year you had the Anniversary Reds release on Air Max Day.
Yep.
Kind of they were actually quite a tough get. These again are releasing prior to Air Max Day. Lots of retailers, pretty much any place that sells shoes is getting these by the look of it, which is cool, really good. They did do that last time and they still sold out everywhere.
Yep.
So I don't think these are going to be easy, but it is very similar to other products that we know is coming as well. So like for me, I'm there like, I really like these and I kind of want a pair. But do I hold out for the other pair? I don't know. Which is going to be easy to get. I don't know. So yeah, it is a bit of a strange one. But as you said, there is some very nice products coming out, which is good. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's always one of those where what they do is somewhat dependent on where you are geographically. But this year it doesn't seem like there's a few pop-ups, but there's nothing major that you seem to be missing on. So it'll be interesting to see. I have seen Calf kind of just teasing some little bits across the week as to releases and what might be happening. And he hasn't really given anything away, but it has kind of hinted towards there might be a little bit more than we know about on Air Max Day, which would be cool and some nice surprises. So yeah, no, it's always just a nice time. Everyone seems quite happy. So there you
Hey,
go.
well, we'll see how the day goes, because that normally has a big impact on whether people are happy this week or not so happy this
Yeah.
week. Did everyone get the pairs they want? Did everyone not get the pairs they want? Did it live up to the hype? Did it not live up to the hype? I think we've got a really good combo this year of some sort of classic colorways coming out, some collector's pieces, and also some new tech. But again, let's not go too much into it, Scott, because technically we are still recording this prior to Air Max Day. So maybe we can sort of have a real rundown of all of the products and things like this next week, sort of in this intro segment. But I thought I'd use this little segment, Scotty boy, to again still have a little bit of an Air Max theme, seeing as we are celebrating Air Max month. And I thought we'd play a little bit of a game. It's not like me to come up with a game for the podcast. Who would have thunk it, right? But Scott, I don't know if you've seen these Instagram reels slash TikToks. I'm not on TikTok, so I only see them as reels, but I'm sure they sort of originally started on TikTok. But I don't know if you've seen these reels where it's sort of like you only need 5 shoes in a rotation, and it says you need an everyday wearer, something skinny, something dressy, something chunky, and something special. And I thought we could have a little go at coming up with our own 5-day rotations, however, Air Max themed. So I've already sort of prepped you with these subjects or these sort of categories, but I thought these are shoes that we can pick from shoes that we don't necessarily own. It could be any Air Max, any silhouette, any collaboration, any colorway. Literally, the world is our oyster. But the two of us are going to come up with our personal 5-day rotation sticking with these five categories. And I don't know about you, Scott, where I'm sort of in my phase at the minute of not trying to overindulge in trainers and sort of thinking about what I wear rather than just having endless pairs of endless colorways. Before we actually go into our 5 days, I kind of like this concept of you only need sort of 5 shoes in your rotation. Like this idea of having an everyday wearer, something skinny, something dressy, something chunky, something special, ain't a bad philosophy to have.
Yeah, but it's 5 days. It's like you've got five pairs, which is fine, but
It's not a
obviously,
5-day rotation, is it? I suppose it's
yeah,
more just you only need five total shoes
five.
in your rotation.
Yeah, I do agree to a degree, but. Yeah, I also think I would like more
Imagine
than
only
that.
having five. I have 5 pairs at my front door, let alone 5 pairs in the rotation. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
imagine
but
people like us having only 5 shoes in a rota in like a
I see it and it's
collection.
like, oh, you need like five of these. And it, right, now I
I need five
know,
grey runners.
right, I know somebody that is reasonably big on the older social media stuff and does a lot of these videos of kind of like get ready with me and all these kind of obviously new ones that have kind of recently taken off. And one thing he did do was a one of these where it was like, these are the five shoes that you need. And I said to him afterwards, I said, bullshit, don't give me that because I know for a fact you'll have more than that. And he went, yeah. It's kind of more like the five silhouettes because
Oh.
I have like one of them was a gazelle. And I was there like, okay, I get that. However, you've put a green gazelle and there is no way in hell that you only have that green gazelle. And he was like, no, I'll have it in black, blue, red, green, depending on the outfit. And I was there like, right, now we're
Now it's
talking.
all coming out, yeah.
Although I did get, I got laughed at work actually for the term rotation
Oh,
earlier
God.
this week because yesterday I was wearing my anniversary red big bubbles and everybody was like, are they a new pair of shoes? Like they're so clean. And I was like, no, I bought them literally a year ago today, like to this it time of year. And they went, oh, you know, it must be quite nice to have like these shoes that you can just rotate round and all this. And I said, well, yeah, it's like it is a rotation of shoes, and you know, people do have a rotation. And they went, what? That's an actual thing. And I went, yeah. People have like a rotation, they'll pick like five pair. And they honestly, it blew their minds. They couldn't comprehend it. It was mind blowing. And there is one girl sat there in, you think your Reebok Club Cs are beaten up? Like hers are, honestly, may as well just be strapped together with tape. Like they are destroyed. Yeah, very much so. And it's funny because what she will do is she will go and buy the same pair again.
Hey, if it ain't broke, just don't fix it.
Yeah, but she will get them looking like that again within about 2 weeks.
Hey, I like the dedication there. I like the dedication. Well, let's get started with this then, Scotty boy. So one of the things I will preface with my 5 days or my five pairs, I don't know if you've done the same, because we have had a very brief conversation about this segment before hitting record, but I am literally talking 5 minutes before starting this podcast. I told Scott we were doing this. So we haven't had a huge amount of time to prep. I've tried to put five shoes that could actually be a realistic five set of shoes. So like when I talk about my everyday pair, my skinny pair, my dressy pair, my chunky pair, my special pair, I'm thinking about, like, for example, the special pair, I'm not thinking about like the Lil Nas X Satan Air Max 97s or something like that. I'm not thinking about something that's just like totally ridiculously obscure. And I'm not thinking about like purple denim Air Max ones that are tens of thousands of pounds and things like this. I've tried to keep this like a cool five pairs of shoes, but also like there might be listeners that have these exact five pairs. So I've tried to keep it a little bit calmer, just to sort of avoid us really having our head in the clouds. But I'll start things off, Scott. And if anyone's watched these videos on Instagram, it always starts with the everyday pair. Five pairs. The first pair is an everyday pair. And Scotty boy, I'm going to give you one guess as to what the color of this shoe is for me.
Is it gray?
It is indeed, because my everyday pair is the Air Max 1 London.
Nice. Good choice.
Hey, it's an Air Max 1. Goes with anything. It's grey. Goes with anything. It's a London pair. I love London. So I feel like for an everyday wearer, can't go wrong. Might not be the best material, but it's also like it's not a mesh Air Max 1 where you get one tiny drop of mud on that toe box and it's fucked for life.
Yeah. I love the fact you went, I'm not going to keep my rotation too hyped, and then immediately went for one of the most sought after and hard to get Air Maxes.
Well, I mean, hey.
The resale's not terrible.
No,
it's
the
not
resale,
like
you can go on to StockX and buy it for like 300, which, I mean, 300 is an expensive shoe, but also, like, I'm not talking about my everyday wearer, like the chlorophyll patters. Like, we're going semi-reasonable.
Yeah.
These 5 days are the Waitrose of shoes here right now. Like we're not picking Aldi shoes, and likewise we're not picking personalized chef shoes. We're picking Waitrose M&S shoes here, Scott.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, my everyday wearer is literally an everywhere day wearer. I'm going Gore-Tex 90s.
Ooh, I like that.
Infrareds.
Yeah.
Weirdly, that is a shoe that I get probably the most comments on whenever I wear it.
Or the infrared 90.
Yeah. Honestly, I wear it into the office and nearly every time people go, I really like your shoes. And I'm there like, I mean, they are obviously one of the classics, one of the best ever, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a shoe I would expect people to comment. And like I say, just put Gore-Tex on it. You're on to a winner. I love my 90s, but I don't want to kind of, get them too battered. So I am reasonably careful. But if they were Gore-Tex, I would just wear them.
Do whatever.
All the time. Yeah, the box would be gone. They would just be by the door, like, constant. So yeah, I'm going to go Gore-Tex infrared 90s.
To this day, whenever I think of the infrared 90, I still feel really, really bad for going to a mate's birthday party when I was in like sort of college. And I remember I sort of, we were all in the kitchen, because of course that's where the party is for any party, Scott, always in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I was at my friend's house and I picked up this stool to sort of move it back so I could sit on it. And as I've moved it back, I haven't realized, but Aaron Barton stood behind me. And the corner of the stool has gone right on the toe box of his infrared 90s. And I've just like touched the toe box, instantly realized what I'd done, lifted up the chair, and I've looked down and there is a perfect black circle on the toe box of his infrared 90s. I was
This is a villain origin story if I've ever heard one.
I was so apologetic, like, honestly. And next time I saw him wearing them as well, like, you could tell he's gone home and cleaned them, because that you can still see like a faint black circle on the toe box. And that's what I meant, like, when I picked the Air Max 1 Londons, like, it goes with everything because it's grey, but also it doesn't have that really like stain attracted white toe box. So the fact you've gone for the Gore-Tex 90s, hopefully they're a little bit more robust than the normal ones.
This is the problem. Like, you do put them on and they feel quite plush, and you do feel like they could probably get ruined quite easily, which I'm very wary of. So yeah, the Gore-Tex ones, I think will hopefully be a bit more robust.
Be a little bit more forgiving. Second category, Scotty boy, is quite a hard one here. It is skinny, because if I was to tell you to describe any Air Max, I can't imagine the word skinny is ever going to come out of your mouth, because they are quite big running shoes, essentially. And especially the earlier pairs, like, I mean, they weren't exactly known for their sleekness, but there are some Air Maxes that are more skinny than others. So I think we have to try and be as skinny as we can when it comes to Air Maxes. So I am going with the CDG Air 180 in the black and pink colorway. I think for me, a 180 is probably one of the sleekest sort of pairs of Air Maxes you're going to get. It's got that sort of like neoprene, sort of almost Huarache sock like tongue and sort of inliner, and it is a little bit more slender in comparison to a 95, for example. So you know, and the listeners will know, I love that CDG Air 180. So like, that's 100%. If I'm picking a 180, I'm going with something a little bit flashy as well.
Yeah, fair enough. And yeah, I think when it comes to models, it is a hard one with Air Max, because they are, you know, on the bulkier side. Still lovely, but yeah, they're certainly on the bulkier side with that one. But okay, yeah. So I mean, I've gone with a 180 as well, because I especially when you go bigger sizes, it is a bit tricky, because it's like with Air Max, I don't find them particularly wise, but they're more in proportion.
Yeah.
It's not like when you wear, like, say, a Converse low
and it just
top
gets longer,
and it's like long and skinny. So yeah, the 180 is a bit more like that. And the pair I've gone for, so I've got a bit of red, I think I need a bit of blue. So I'm going with the Nike Air Max 180, the size ice pair from the Fire and Ice pack.
Ooh.
I really like that ice pair, and it is a pair that I saw in the sales on shelves in size, and I should have bought them and didn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really like the blue's lovely, the hit of black, kind of the gray slash silvery tongue, the materials, I like them. And I've seen them like reasonably worn.
Yeah.
And they seem to wear really well as well. They don't seem to kind of particularly, fall apart and look bad too easily. And like I say, nice age midsole. I think it's a very, very nice pair. And actually, looking on StockX, the prices aren't terrible. So I might keep an eye on a pair of those.
No, they aren't. I mean, the thing with like these shoes, there's a few pairs that are like, when they were first around, they hit the sales, and it then makes it, I don't know about you, Scott, but understanding that obviously markets change, but when I've seen a shoe in the sales, I find it really, really difficult to then potentially pay more close to like full price for it. Like, yeah. I really kicked myself for not buying the Viatech 90s, knowing that I've seen them in shops for like 80 quid, and now seeing them sort of on eBay for like 120, 130. I'm like, I know 120, 130 is not that much, but it's still like, I could have got that brand new for 80 quid. Why am I spending over £100 on it? And there's like a mental block of like, I know what that shoe's actually worth at retail. So it makes
it's
it a
hard,
little...
isn't it, though? Because sometimes you get like these pairs that go in the sale and they go on to become like these mad grails that everyone wants. But then other times they just don't, and they just go to retail. And yeah. like that's their resale price. And they're like, okay, I can live with that. It's very hard to determine what will happen, whether they will be easy to pick up down the line and just go, yeah, I fancy those now, or whether it is a case of, yes, completely unobtainable, absolute craziness. I mean, like the Air Max 1 Watermelon, for example, like that hit the sales shoe. And now not a chance.
No, I love that shoe as well. All right, next category, we have something dressy, Scotty boy, something that you might wear if you're dressing up a little bit. And I feel like if you're going for something dressy, you have to go with sort of like a monochrome color. Like you have to go with sort of a black or white or something like that, in my eyes anyway. Something that is, again, I'm thinking about like, what can I get away with wearing a suit potentially, or at least some smart trousers and a shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm going with the Pata Air Max 1 Black.
Good choice.
Again, I'm not going for something super, super simple, but something that's like a little bit fancy, where you can see the waves on the panels and you're like, oh, they're intriguing. But at the same time, it is a very classy looking Air Max. The nice black panels, again, the aged midsole. You can sort of, again, if you want it to be a little less standout, put some black laces in there. If you wanted to chuck some cream laces in there, you could do. So yeah, I'm going with the Pata Air Max 1 in the black colorway.
Good choice. Good choice. For my dress-up shoe, I'm going with the Pata Mono Pata in the black colorway as well.
Oh, we both had the same idea there.
We both have the same one. I put the Pata Wave in the black colorway as well. I agree. I think it's like one of those where if you want to wear it something a bit smarter, generally it's darker. And in my head, I went navy or black or white. Yeah. You could wear the white pair as well, to be fair.
I had the white pair written down at one stage, and I was like, actually, no, black's probably a little bit smart. I'm thinking like, if I'm wearing a suit,
yeah,
then
literally,
I can wear the black. Yeah,
I immediately went black suit, black trainers. That was it.
Yeah, the other pair
a pair of pandas, a Panda Air Max 1, you could do as well.
I mean, that's basically what the Pata Air Max 1 is. I mean, I'm sorry if I insult anyone, but the other pair that was potentially going to make my list for the dressy one, I remember Lorenzo saying ages ago, I was chatting to him about, I think he went to a wedding in like Italy or something like that, and he had a pair of like Italian leather black Air Max 95s, like really, really premium. And like I was thinking, oh, maybe that could be a good shout. But for me, that the Air Max 95 is just a little bit too chunky. So I thought I'll go with something a little bit more slender in the Air Max 1. But that was a close second for me.
Yeah, I'm just not cool enough to pull that off.
No.
Basically, like, I've seen like Lorenzo and how he kind of styles himself. And yeah, he can pull it off and he can look damn good. I would just look a bit terrible. It's not even a bit terrible. It's just, I would just look bad.
I went to a wedding, forgot to pack my shoes, and I just happened to have black trainers with me. That's what I'd look like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that would be me as well. I have a reputation of wearing trainers, like I say, pretty much everywhere, but there are some that you just go, I couldn't do it. I am envious of people that can pull it off, because I'm not that guy.
You never know. The our not so executive producer Ryan might be listening to this if he ever decides to listen to the podcast. And we were throwing around in our group chat earlier, Scott, the upcoming TNs with the black leather TNs with the the tongue.
I'm glad you brought this up.
You can tell
you've had a long week. Fucking hell. Like, clearly your eyesight's struggling as well, because that is honestly.
Oh, dear.
We're going on a tangent here, because that is fucking awful.
If any listeners, I'm sorry, this is something.
Someone
that
who doesn't like any football boot style shoes, and that thing.
Yeah.
It's awful.
If anyone hasn't seen the shoe we're talking about, go on to the Drop Dates Instagram account or CAF's Instagram account, either or. And they do have a picture of an Air Max, a TN Tiempo That's essentially going to be coming out later on in the year. And it is just an all black leather TN, white swoosh, but it has like the football tongue. But to me, I don't
it's
see a football
so
boot.
Chunky.
For me, I see a piece Manuson TN, and that excites me.
Honestly, the piece Manuson is like that is a bold shoe. That shoe is pushing it to a degree. But this is, oh my God. I mean, it's so bulky. Like,
I'm there for it.
It's so bulk. The toe box is so massive. And then it looks like you can remove the tongue. But if you wrote, honestly, it's like they've gone and taken a kind of a TN and somehow made it platform and somehow made it chunkier and then just gone, you know what, just give it a fucking football tongue. Why not? It's beyond weird. And annoyingly, I know I'm going to see it in other colorways and it's going to piss me off because Nike have done some really good football stuff recently and they're bringing back retro football shirts. What a maneuver. And then, yeah, you've got this. Fuck it.
Scott, we've gone on a tangent. Should we bring it back to this game before you... you've woken up now, clearly. But, hey, talking about chunky shoes, that moves us on to the next category. Something chunky. And
have you picked this one?
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. No, it hasn't come out yet. If we were doing this in a couple of months' time, maybe I would have. I don't think that shoe's coming out until, like, June or July. So... We've got a little bit of time. But no, the shoe that I'm going with is an Air Max 95. Because if I'm thinking chunky Air Max, I feel like the 95 is probably one of the chunkier. And I'm trying to be a little bit tactical where I'm also thinking this is a chunky everyday wearer. So I'm thinking of like a hybrid choice. Because I'm going for the Cortez Air Max 95 in the gutter green.
Good choice.
A leather green Air Max 95. Yes, it's chunky, but you can throw that on with absolutely anything and it seems nearly indestructible. So, yeah, going Cortez 95.
Oh, that's a good choice. That is a good choice.
Hey, Scott, I've got something black. I've got something grey. I've got something green. This is a decent five-day rotation here.
Yeah. See, I've got my 90s, my infrareds. I've got a bit of reds. I've got the dust, the ice, the blue pair. Got the black, but the problem is with that patter black is it has to say pristine. If you scratch it,
it's no longer going to be a dressy
looks
pair.
Bad. And I did have probably one of, if not my favorite pair of 95s as my chunky pair, but I feel like I'm going to have to maneuver away from that.
Okay.
Because I did go with the anatomy of air. Because I think it's just beautiful.
Beautiful.
But I have a lot of very light coloured shoes in that rotation. So I am going to take a little bit of a leaf out of your book. And I think I'm going to go with the Cortez, which was my second choice.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with the pink.
Yeah. Nice. Nice pair.
Dark leather. Just nice, clean. I like that pair. Freddy Krueger's could have gone in there as well, to be fair. Again, another great pair.
95.
But yeah, I think I love the anatomy of air, but as a rotation to give me a bit of balance, I'm going to go with the Cortez in the pink.
Okay, I like it. You're also validating my pick there. So I feel like you changing to sort of copy me a little bit only makes me feel better about it. Sometimes when I do these, I think, have I really picked the right... Like when we do these sort of hypothetical rotations and things like this, I'm like, have I actually picked the right thing? Hey.
Mm.
What is it? Imitation's the best form of flattery or something like that? So I'll take
that
it,
is the
Scotty
correct point. Well done.
Hey, there we go. All right, this moves into our final category. This one, really, you could interpret in any which way, shape or form you want. A pair that's special. And when it comes to Air Maxes... Oh my God, you really can take this anywhere. And this is why I sort of thought to myself, I want to pick something that isn't ridiculous because this is where you can do like para friends and family. You can pick any of the, you can pick like the pata para, like cherry woods. You can pick The chlorophylls, you can pick the Air Max 97 ones. I mean, you still might. I don't know. I know you like that shoe. But I really thought you can go over. There's so many options here. So I was toying between two pairs when we first hit record. I said to you before we hit record, there are two pairs that I have in mind. They're both batshit crazy. And for me, a special pair is like one of those pairs that you pull out once in a blue moon because it is a little bit batshit crazy and you can't wear it every single day. And therefore, I think I'm going to go for the more batshit crazy out of the two. And this might throw you off a little bit, Scott, but I'm going with the Supreme TN in the green colorway.
Because it gets me off guard at all. I had it written down as an option,
Oh no!
but I haven't picked it. But I kind of assumed that would be
Oh.
green pair as well, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, the green pair. Although the black pair with the sort of reds, the pinky. Oh, lovely. But no, I think I'm gonna go for the green TN. I'm gonna spice things up a little bit. I know I've technically got two green pairs, but the Cortez is more of a khaki green, and the Supreme TN is Vault bogey green.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. It's a bold pair. It's a very bold pair, but it is a great pair. It is
Special
a
pair.
really, really good pair. Yeah, they've done some very good Air Max. Special. Again, it was one of those where it's like, how crazy do you go? And
Yep.
also, how predictable do I go? Because there's one pair that is like, well, that's just the obvious, like picking the Sean Wotherspoon just feels a bit,
Your favorite shoe, isn't it?
it is, yeah, but it just feels obvious. It feels a bit too, so I'm gonna go with an Air Max I absolutely love. And seeing as the rest of my rotation has been reasonably cheap and kind of on the lower end of the scale, I'll use my budget for this one, and I will go with the Air Max One Viotech.
Ooh. I
I
like
love
that as
that
a
shoe.
pick.
I love that shoe.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's just such a great colorway. It's beautiful. There's quite a few like decent ones that I like. I mean, I like the 90 Desert Or, the off-white pair.
I tell you what,
I
that was one of the
love that
pairs.
pair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't come up very. There's been a couple of times where it has come up at a really good price, and I haven't. But I do really like them, and it's just one of those that it is a pair. If you want a special pair, you do want a pair that people are going to notice, and that
Yep.
is one that people will go. The Viatechs are more like people, like if you're a sneakerhead, you know.
Yep.
But if I was walking down the corridor of somewhere, like people would probably just pass by and go, whatever. Whereas the Sean Wotherspoons, as I said, the Desert Ors, people will go, what is on his feet? And that is something that you probably want. But yeah, I'm going to go Viotech. I just love that shoe. I think it's great. Absolutely beautiful.
Very, very good pick. The other one that I was toying between the two, Scott, was the Atmos Air Max 1 Animal Pack 2.0. That was
Yeah.
the other one. But I thought, you know
That's
what,
a crazy pair.
again, crazy pair, animal print all over. But I thought, you know what, let's go with the Supreme. So overall, Scott, let's quickly run through our 5 day rotation. So I've got for my everyday pair Air Max 1 London, for my skinny pair CDG Air 180 in the black and pink colorway, my dressy pair is the Pata Air Max 1 black, chunky is the Cortez Air Max 95 gutter green, and my special pair we have the Supreme TN in the green colorway. Scotty boy, what have you got for your 5 days?
So my everyday pair is the Gore-Tex 90s infrared. My skinny pair, I have the Air Max 180, the Ice from the Fire and Ice Pack. My dressy pair, I have the same as you. I have the Pata Wave in the black colorway. My chunky pair is the Air Max 95, the Cortez in the pink colorway, and then my special pair is the Viotech ones.
Two very, very good 5 day rotations. Hey, if you're bored listening to this podcast and you want to tell us what you would have picked for the five categories, drop us a DM. Why not? No,
Yeah.
we want to hear from you. Why not? Well, I tell you what, Scotty boy, that brings us on probably to our first main segment of the podcast, and that is, of course, Shoes Rounds. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking back at some of the biggest news stories that have happened in the wonderful world of sneakers and give our thoughts and opinions. Scott, it is you this week taking Shoes Rounds. So without further ado, I'll pass over to you for Shoes Rounds.
Gracias. There's not really any news, to be honest. It's one of them weeks where there's just not much happening. As he said, next week there probably will be news. I mean, someone kicked off at End and tried to throw stuff at the window because they couldn't get trophy rooms today. But I mean, there's not really much to say there.
We don't want to justify that.
No. And it was only just one person. So let's not give them any air. But the one thing that we did kind of notice was an article from Footwear News titled "Everyone's Talking About Nike's Innovation Problem. Getting Back in the Game Could Be Complicated, Insiders Say." This is an article written by Footwear News discussing Nike's innovation woes, as it has been described, which is something we've touched on a number of times in terms of new models, new technologies. But this is a really good article by Footwear News. So I'll kind of read a little bit, kind of get into what it's saying. But Nike's innovation woes have been well documented by brand execs, market watchers, sneaker consumers. However, the athletic giant releasing its third quarter earnings Thursday afternoon, conversation has escalated. While we remain long-term optimistic on Nike due to their long track record of success, we've become incrementally cautious short-term due to frustrating lack of product innovation, and we think it's becoming clearer that the consumer direct acceleration strategy was a mistake, Wedbush Securities wrote in a note on Monday. They were saying that the company's pre-COVID plan was doing fine and was accelerated in 2020 due to COVID, but they were focusing too much they focused too much on where they were selling and kind of lost focus of what they were selling. So very much kind of, okay, how are we getting this product to consumers, but not really putting much of a focus on what any of that product was. And the article goes on to explain that there was a lack of focus on innovation at the time, but they are now kind of looking at it a bit more. What happened with Nike and lots of brands during the pandemic was they made a decision to play it very safe. They essentially shut down their innovation engine and said, we are not going to come out with new product because it's risky. We're going to lean hard on our tried and true top bestsellers because those are the safest shoes we have in the mix. We've mentioned this before in terms of brands' reliance on retros, but also the fact that we demand the retros. You know, they put new product out and we don't really consume it. But at the same time, has that innovation actually been particularly good? It says here that during the pandemic, there was a big success for Hoka, On Air, Brooks, Asics, and believe that it was good for them, but it wasn't the correct strategy for Nike to take. Russ Bengtston, a longtime sneaker writer and author of A History of Basketball in 15 Sneakers, suggested that Nike focused so much on the past that it has actually looked to neglect the future. It looks at shoes such as the Jordan 38, technically advanced, cool shoe, but, you know, it's still not happening. And someone that just wants to buy sneakers for casual wear, they're going to go to the 90s, they're going to go to the 95s, the Jordan 1s, Jordan 3s, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of kind of talk about the struggling with sameness and that a lot of innovation is just basically we're just going to take an old model and try and do something to it, which, you know, is that an effective strategy? Interesting, it kind of dives into it. It talks about the Air Max DN, which obviously is releasing tomorrow on Air Max Day, but when you're listening to this. And, you know, it features Dynamic Air, which is a dual chamber four tubed unit designed with comfort and a smooth stride in mind. The sneaker will release, as I said, March 26th. And again, it's one of those where it's you're looking to the past to try and create something for the future, but this article is definitely questioning its kind of its effectiveness and how much people will actually like it. Air Max lovers, will they like it? Have they seen something like this before in terms of innovation? Not sure. It then talks about what Nike's last great innovation was, which in here it basically says Flyknit is really VaporMax was very good, but it, you know, it had a pretty short lifespan. And then the piece of the article that I know caught your interest was talking about the basketball kind of line and the innovation that happens there, because as I said in the article, for instance, basketball, a category Nike has long dominated, has seen increased competition in recent years from Adidas and Puma. Adidas NBA star Anthony Edwards' first signature shoe, the AE1, has won consumers over for both its design and corresponding promotional efforts. And Puma, there's have lots of things with LaMelo Ball, with his kind of franchise. So there is a lot of pressure on Nike for innovation. And this article, if honestly, is a really, really good article. One of the best articles I've read in a while, actually. And yeah, Footwear News, titled Everyone's Talking About Nike's Innovation Problem. There's a lot of points in here that could be raised. And we've kind of discussed some of them in the past about innovation, about how brands do kind of rely heavily. But like I say, it's a case of, well, actually, are they focused on innovation? Is it a bit of a token gesture? What is their thoughts on it? But certainly, I think the talk of basketball, I know you kind of mentioned before we went on air, that is something where actually we're seeing a lot more from other brands at the moment, and is certainly something that's really visible, and visible pressure on Nike at the moment, and whether their innovation will need to take a step up in order to kind of combat that.
Yeah, it's a really, really good article. Like, we can't stress it enough. It's not like a small 5-minute read. Like, this is quite a lengthy article, and Footwear News have done a really, really good job of getting so many different comments from so many different people. Like I said, you've got people from big organizations looking more on the finance side. You've got sneaker bloggers. You've got people like Jacques Slade on there, giving sort of their two cents in this whole matter. And what I found really interesting about this article, Scott, is that it really does sort of coincide with what we've been sort of talking and giving our thoughts on in this podcast. This podcast started in 2020, right? And of course, 2020 wasn't the year that we got into shoes, but we really sort of saw an increase in sneaker popularity right in the middle of COVID, right? And if we really think back to COVID, what did everyone want? Dunks, Jordans, shoes from the 80s. And it makes sense that we've spent the last nearly 4 years talking about how all Nike are doing, looking back at retros. It's not fair to just say Nike, because other brands have been doing the same. New Balance have been constantly going back to look at old models. But we've been slating Nike for the last nearly 4 years about, give us something new that's good, give us something new that's good, and they just haven't been able to do it. The DN is probably the closest thing to a decent new shoe, and look at the logo for the DN. It's a TN logo, but with a D instead. Do you know what I mean? Like, it screams everything that this article tells you, that all they're doing is looking back to try and give you a fake form of innovation, but is it actually being innovative? And it's really, really interesting. The bit about the basketball shoes has really, really got me, because for someone that's a basketball fan, I've been saying mostly on Hoops and Rec for a little while now, Adidas is bad at basketball shoes. Adidas is bad at basketball shoes. Like, I've been saying, you can't tell a single basketball shoe apart with Adidas now. Like, they're all too similar. I couldn't tell you a Dame from Spider, from D-Rose. Like, I couldn't tell you any of any apart, because they all just look like generic basketball shoes. The irony is that two of the biggest new silhouettes for Nike this year is the D-Book 1 and the Jar 1. And they both just look like versions of a Kobe. They've gone back and taken inspiration from old models to create something new. While simultaneously, Adidas has introduced the Harden 8 and also the AE1 that is referenced in this particular article. And they are both killing it. It's like overnight, everything I said about Adidas basketball is completely false. And actually, it's now completely applicable to Nike basketball. And the AE1, especially with Anthony Edwards, for anyone that's into basketball, you guys will know that Anthony Edwards is like the next hot thing in the NBA, right? He's a young sort of, this is his third year in the NBA, second or third year in the NBA, and he's killing it. And I've started seeing people on Instagram this week wearing AE1s with jeans. Scott, tell me the last time you saw people wearing actual modern basketball shoes with jeans. Like, it's been years since that has happened. And they're actually looking all right. And again, I've seen other people with like the Harden 8s with jeans. And it's like, somehow we're having super technical shoes bridging the gap between on-court and off-court again. And it's not a Nike. Like, think about that. We have a shoe that's bridging that gap and it's not a Nike. That's just madness to me. So I think this article is super, super interesting. It does raise so many points. And as I said, the timeline all fits quite nicely.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it is an interesting one because I think basketball in particular, I know everyone always goes Nike, Nike, Nike. But, you know, there is the things that people go mad for Nike are it's constant retros. It's constant collabs on retros. And it is one of those where you do get a bit bored of it. I mean, I think I know people will say, you know, sneakers has got a bit tired this year, but I don't think it's that. I think people are just kind of fatigued of seeing the same models, same collaborators churning something slightly different out from one another. And there hasn't been that much innovation. I think it's one of the reasons that people are getting quite excited about the Jumpman Jacks because it is something different. Whether you like that shoe or not, I think people are interested because they're like, I wonder what it's like. I wonder what it's going to be like, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas you just don't get that particularly often anymore. I think obviously with sports shoes, it's different. It's why with football boots, people get excited when I remember when like the Hypervenoms came out and everyone was like, oh my God, Hypervenoms, Mercurials. Oh my God, Mercurials, so nice. All this. Yeah, exactly. Because it was like, you know, Predators with the tongue and everything. It was just the fact that it was something completely new and people were like, I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder what it's going to play like. And I think with casual sneakers, obviously you don't really get that as much. It is kind of, is it comfortable? Does it look good? That's kind of the main key elements. Basketball, like I say, in particular, most people, I mean, for someone that is obviously incredibly ignorant of basketball and really knows absolutely nothing about it, I think basketball, I do think Nike. I just think Jordan, because that's who has dominated the market. But now, I'm not going to lie, when it comes to basketball shoes, I don't see much Nike on my timeline. Like, no. I don't, the only thing that I can remotely remember about seeing a Nike basketball shoe recently was the Bayous that Mark did, because he did a really cool reel about them and they did look really nice. That's the only thing.
So,
and that's a Bayou that somebody bought. Whereas otherwise, all I'm seeing is Puma, Adidas. I'm seeing, you know, even New Balance and Under Armour and stuff. I'm seeing more of them and people kind of talking about them than I am with Nike. And again, it's something new. It's something different. And, you know, people like that. People are excited by that.
So for anyone that, again, maybe isn't a huge into basketball shoes, of course, all of these shoes are going to have slight variation. And Scott, I'd even sort of say for you to, like, while I'm saying this, even Google these. But if you Google a Nike Kobe 5, a LeBron 20, a Jar 1, a D-Book 1, and a Sabrina 1, tell me they don't basically look the same with a slightly different cut to them. Every single one of them is a low-cut Nike basketball shoe with a swoosh on the side. That's five different signature shoes I've given you from different eras.
Yeah,
and they
I'm
all
looking
basically
at...
look the same.
I've got the LeBron 20s and the Jar 1s look very, very similar.
Yep.
The Kobe 5s are slightly different. They've
but
got
again,
a slightly
similar.
Bigger tongue on them. But again, the cut and that is similar. And I guess I look at it and I do agree. I think they are very similar. And it's, again, what do you buy? What, you know, I guess the only thing potentially that I can remotely think of is they've looked at this and they've gone, well, from a performance
it works,
level,
so we'll keep
it
doing it
works,
over and over
therefore
and over
we're
again.
Going to do it with all of, we've got a formula that is clearly effective, we're going to do it with all of them, just kind of give them different things. I can't, you know, I mean, with a signature shoe, you would think, again, I may be completely wrong, but different players would have different play styles.
Yep.
And you would assume that because of that and the way that they would play and the way that they would move, different players would want different cuts. They'd, some of them might want a high top, some of them might want a low top, some of them might want different. But you can't really tell that from this. They are all reasonably cookie cutter.
LeBron's have traditionally been a little bit more bulky and a little bit more robust on the ankle. It's not until sort of like his more recent models where they have got a little bit more sort of lower. The 20 was one of the first sort of lower models that you saw of his. Kobe always liked low models until he did his Achilles, and then he had sort of the really, really high tops that sort of went up the back of the heel for a little bit. But most of Kobe's were sort of low. And to be fair, a lot of the Nike signature athletes at the minute, I mean, Ja is a guard, a very explosive guard. He's going to need a low cut shoe to be able to cut a little bit more. D Book again is a guard. He's going to need a low cut to cut a little bit more. Sabrina, who I love the fact that out of all of these shoes I've mentioned, a women's shoe is the best out of all of them, in my personal opinion. But Sabrina, again, she cuts and she's one of the best shooters in the WNBA. So again, she needs a low cut shoe. So there is, like you said, a little bit of a bias, but it's just funny for someone that was completely ignorant to it all and had no idea. If you'd line these five shoes up and went, tell me, like, give me five differences between all of them, it's the shape wouldn't be one. Do you know what I mean? Like, it might be, oh, well, this one has a tab on the back and this one doesn't. This one has a slightly different mesh and this one doesn't. But like the actual shape, none of them you would turn around and go, oh, well, this one's clearly a high top, or this one's chunkier, or what? So it's very interesting. Whereas you compare that to other brands you mentioned earlier about Under Armour, New Balance. What are some of the big basketball articles we've been talking about recently? Skechers getting into the mix. Kyrie Irving recently released his signature model with Anta, the Kai 1, which is absolutely phenomenal as a basketball shoe. So it's really, really interesting. But it all plays into, again, this idea that Nike are struggling with innovation. We shouldn't just paint Nike with the bad brush, because again, look at Adidas, for example. They're rinsing and repeating Gazelles and Sambas, which isn't exactly new technology themselves, but Nike has always been one of the most leading, like one of the leading brands in innovation. And hey, currently they ain't doing it.
Yeah, literally that. I think it's we do kind of hold Nike to a degree to a slightly higher standard, but it is an interesting one. It raises a lot of discussions. Like I say, go and give the article a read, because it is very, very good. And I'm sure you probably will actually look at things in maybe a slightly different light after reading them and kind of have your own questions. But very good article. And like I say, something we could talk about for ages, but we don't have all the time in the world. So on that, that's the news. So on that, I will be passing over to Matt for our second segment of the podcast, Double Up, Double Down, where we look at the upcoming releases for the next week. Pick a double up, something we like, a double down, something we dislike, and a sleeper pick, something we think might get a little bit lost amongst the hype. So on that, I'll pass over to Matt for Double Up, Double Down.
Thank you, Scotty boy. And although I am going to preface, I don't think this is the best shoe releasing this week, I would be remiss to not pick a Air Max for the double up of the week, because there will be a lot of people that are really, really hyped for this shoe. And the pair that I am picking is the Nike Air Max 1 Royal Vault Air Max Day. Now, the Anniversary Red Vault Air Max Day pair has become one of the more recent sort of sought after pairs and collector's pieces for Air Max fans. if you think about that sort of iconic Anniversary Red upper with the vault green midsole and the date on the tongue of the 326, what we've basically done here is created a big bubble version of that, but with the royal blue instead of the Anniversary Red. This shoe is supposedly, funnily enough, being that it has 326 on the tongue, releasing on Air Max Day. And although day of recording, I haven't seen much about this shoe. Seems like everyone's sort of keeping it close to their chest. Sole supplier is saying this shoe is going to retail for £145. Now, I'm not necessarily the greatest fan of the Anniversary Red and Vault, but there is something about the blue that sort of makes it a little bit calmer. And we actually spoke about this because LeBron James wore it in the tunnel a couple of weeks ago. So I won't go into too much detail, because again, a lot of people have probably already seen this and we've spoken about it anyways, I do believe, previously. But what do you think about this shoe, Scott?
This is what I was referencing when I said earlier about what do you get? Because you've got these, and then you've got the
The normal
OGs
ones.
that are releasing, or will have already released. So it is a difficult one because I don't know what the difference in obviously
Availability.
product numbers, etc., will be. These, I imagine, are going to be a sneakers exclusive. They're not going to be anywhere else. I haven't seen them anywhere else. All I've seen is through, through Nike, whereas others, the OGs, I've seen through
Everywhere.
Offspring, size, literally anywhere you can buy shoes. So it's interesting. I think it's a tricky one because I don't normally like the Vault midsole. I think it's really bright and I think it's a bit ugly.
It's called Vault.
But the more I see it, the more I like it. And it definitely works way better on the blue than it does the
The
red.
blue mellows it out.
100%.
The red and green almost clashes, like it's really opposing colors, but the blue sort of mellows out the vault a little bit, which I really like.
It's one of those that I know for a fact I would wear the OG pair more because it is more understated. You can
Well, yeah,
just put it on
it doesn't have a
and
vault
wear it.
sole.
But this is the pair that, say, if I was going to like an Air Max event, you put on and you'd be like, here we go. Right, now we've got a bit of par. So it's a really, really tricky one because, I think both are very, very good. I think this has got nice details on it. Like I say, the Air Max date on the tongue, and everything. Very tricky, but I do really like them. Just they're good. They're very good. Very, very good.
Very, very good. Well, moving on to a shoe that isn't very good. And this, Scott, there's not a lot releasing this week, I will say. I feel like brands are being very, very smart in the fact that they know it's Air Max week or Air Max day. Like,
Don't bother.
realistically, who really wants to release many pairs of shoes on the same week and try and compete with Air Max heads?
Well, Adidas
Now,
did, didn't they?
I was
They
going to
did
say,
the you had
well,
Yeezy Day, didn't you? And it was really close. It
well,
wasn't the same day, but it
even now, I
was.
mean, this week you do have the shoe that we haven't spoken about because it doesn't deserve to be a double down and it definitely doesn't deserve to be a sleeper is, of course, the Jound Sambas, which I actually think are releasing the day after Air Max Day. So,
Good pair. They look very nice, but it's a £220
Samba.
Samba. Like,
Nope.
whoa.
Nope.
Ooh.
But anyways, like I said, looking through day of recording, trying to find something that isn't a DN or an Air Max One releasing the week of Air Max Day is really, really difficult. But I have managed to find on the sole supplier website the ASICS GT2160 UB6S in the Mantle Green Grape colorway. This is a technical looking runner that is predominantly brown across the sort of toe box, the midsole, but it has overlays of sort of like a gold and a sort of green. And I mean, Scott, it's a very earthy tone technical runner, which is a really easy double down for me because, as we know, I am not part of Mesh Boy Summer, and this is definitely a Mesh Boy Summer shoe. So, it's just the style for me is not me, but I also at the same time can imagine people that like this style are looking at this thinking, huh, quite a nice shoe. Now, Sole Supplier is telling me that it's releasing on Friday, the 29th of March, for £120. So, actually, quite a nice, price point there. But yeah, this just, if you were to think of a shoe that isn't me, this is pretty much what you'd come up with.
No, I get that. I difficult. I don't think it's terrible. It's not something I would wear, and it looks like the type of thing I would expect like someone that was actually into running to wear. Like it looks like a proper running shoe.
Yeah.
I think it's a weird one. The 2160 is a strange model, because I don't generally like it, but there have been some very good collaborations on it. I think, like I say, the Earls collection, one that I absolutely love, but they've somehow managed to turn this weird techie runner into something that looks a lot more lifestyle with the materials they've used. I think in this one, they've kind of gone the opposite. They've gone, no, we're going to turn the
We're
techie
going to make it even
materials
more
up to
techie.
10, and we're going to make it look, you know, even with the like the weird strap over the tongue and all this weird stuff. Not a fan. It's, yeah, it's not for me. Yeah, it's weird. It's no, it doesn't look very lifestyle. I think
Okay.
that's the way I'm going to put it. I don't think it's terrible, but it's not lifestyle. It looks more sporty.
I could really tell when you're sort of like on the fence with a pair where you're like, this isn't really, really bad, but also there's just something about it where I like, because you just sort of, it's really difficult to put into words exactly why you don't like it, but you know you don't like it. And that's exactly what it is. That's why it's just like, it just doesn't look right. But hey, Scott, it's the double down, so you don't have to like it. But a shoe that I'm hoping you do like is my sleeper pick for the week. The sleeper pick is the New Balance Made in USA 990 V4 in the, it's being described as Arctic Grey and Black. Product code, because again, Scott, I do like me a product code, U990BB4. Now, this is a 990 V4 that predominantly has this beautiful plush sort of light sort of dusty blue sort of almost gray color upper with a really, really dark gray sort of mesh by the toe box and sort of up the side of the shoe, and it's tipped off with black detailing with the black New Balance logo, black midsole and outsole, and also sort of black coming across the sort of panels on the toe as well. This is a really, really nice blue. And I don't normally like mixing black and blue together, but this just somehow works with that dusty light blue. It is releasing on the 28th of March for £210. But Scotty boy, what do you think about the Arctic Grey and Black 990?
New Balance recently have been releasing GRs that I almost feel are like collabs that people didn't want.
Yeah.
Because these colorways, if you stuck the name of any collaborator on them, everyone would go, that looks cool.
Yep. Well,
like
technically,
people
this
would
is
just
this,
people
this
would
is
just
the
accept
first.
it.
Yeah, this is the first of the latest Teddy Santis series. So obviously we know that for the last few years, there has been sort of series after series after series of the sort of Teddy Santis 990s. And this is the latest in the Teddy series. So, I mean, it's from a brainchild of ALD, essentially. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like this perfect description for all of these recent New Balance shoes, because they are just really, like, we thought they were hitting home runs in 2020 with their GRs. Like 2024, they are just going after it with GR banger after GR banger. Like, this is really
literally
strong.
This is the thing. I mean, obviously these look, I think they look really, really good, absolutely beautiful. And you know, they're probably, if it's anything like the 991 V2s, the blue pair that they did, they've sold out everywhere. It's a GR that's sold out everywhere, which is amazing. And like I say, I think if this was a collab and it was a, oh, look, this is an ALD collab, oh, look,
or
this
an
is a Joe
Aurelie or
Fresh
something like
Goods
that, yeah.
collab. Yeah. All of a sudden, you'd be getting a lot more traction and people clicking it online because of the, you'd have the news sites and everything all over them. But yeah, absolutely solid, brilliant. Yeah, I think they're very, very good, very striking colorway, but works.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan, big, big fan.
Well, this shoe is quite an expensive shoe, Scott, being that it is £210. But do we have something a little bit cheaper? Do we have a steal of the week?
Steal of the week. Oh, yes. We do have steal of the week, and it is coming from our good friends over at End. This is a bit of a steal for the smaller footed community in our listeners, as these go from a UK 3.5 to a UK 8. But it is the Nike Times Social Status Attack, i.e. the Mac Attack, In the white and pine green colorway. £125 all the way down to £88. Everyone is loving the Mac Attack. The social status collabs have been really, really good. This one is like premium leathers and suede with, you know, high quality meshes and just nice black hits, white swoosh, aged effects. Yeah, look clean, look really, really good. I think you can really go wrong with them. I mean, the picture they've got is just somebody wearing a pair of black pants over the top of them, and they look top notch. So, yes, I said pants, they're trousers. What's happened? I'm not American. No.
Yeah, but they are like sort of cargo pants, aren't they? Like,
yeah,
I'll let you off. I'll let you off. Like when you say pants, God, I think people can
to me?
Like people know that there's not just a guy wearing these and his Y fronts on end. Like I think people know what you mean, Scott. It's fine.
Hopefully.
Well, fingers crossed, you never know. Hey, maybe that's something that sneaker stores should do more, just like people just wearing pants and shoes. I wonder if that would increase or decrease the number of purchases if there was just like people chilling in their underwear and pairs of shoes on all of the product picks.
I'm sure there'd be some very interesting inquiries.
Oh dear. Well, hey, I approve for your pick, Scotty boy. This is a lovely shoe. I really like this. It's been on sale for quite a long time in a lot of places, but I really like this colorway.
It is very good.
Well, Scotty boy, that brings us on to our final segment of the episode, and that is, of course, the Doubled Up Podcast, Triple Up. So, Scotty boy, this is the part of the episode where I give you three shoes to blind rank. And as sort of we know, this month we've been doing Air Max themed triple ups. We've done the 90s last week. We did 97s before that. And this week I thought we'd do some 95s. So, Scott, the first shoe that you are going to have to blind rank, 1, 2, or 3, CDG Air Max 95 black and white colorway.
Ooh, okay.
You didn't expect that one, did you?
No. Ooh, that's an... I'm going to put it bottom.
Oh.
There's something about that shoe that I see people wearing it and I go, that looks cool. But every time I see it, I'm just always like, I don't... Like, why are people so mad about it? Like, I wouldn't be so mad if it was, yeah, just a reasonably easy shoe, but the prices people pay for them are a bit crazy and I've never really quite got it. I think obviously I know people that do incredible customizing jobs and color wash jobs and et cetera on them, but it's, yeah, I'm not, not sold on these ones.
Oh, well, maybe you'll be sold on the next pair, Scott, because we are going with the size Air Max 95 20 for 20.
Ooh. Interesting. Oh, see. Yeah.
Very funky pair. This shoe
is a funky pair.
It's a mismatched shoe, but only on the inside of the shoe. On the outside of both shoes, you've got this beautiful sort of like a dark grey up into a light grey gradient with the sort of almost safari print. You've got sort of like a pink hue across the top of the shoe. But on the inside, on one, it goes from purple up to yellow. And on the other one, it goes from sort of royal blue up to a green. Lovely, lovely shoe. This is one of my favourite 95s.
Yeah, I'll put it in the middle.
Okay.
I think, again, I like this pair. I think it's a very cool pair. It's a Marmite one, but yeah, I'll put it in the middle.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what then, Scott. That leaves you with a final shoe to go number one. And I think you've done all right here. I think this might be exactly the order that I might actually put all of these shoes in, because your number one shoe is the Foot Patrol Air Max 95 110.
Well, would you look at that? Fair enough. Yeah, again, go me. Yeah, that's in my opinion, that's the best pair there. I think, yeah, it's weird that, again, a pair that actually hit the sales, weirdly, even though it was incredibly limited, you know, yeah, very, it's a very strange release, that one.
1,995 pairs, right?
Yeah.
Inspired by, obviously, British money, being that the shoe, obviously, there's the whole story of the shoe being called the 110, because here in the UK, it's either an Air Max 95 or a 110, given that the original price point of the shoe. Yeah, I think this is a beautiful pair. And it retailed, didn't it, for 110 as well, I think.
It did. Yeah. Yeah, I know when people obviously picked it up and you're there, like, afterwards, like, oh, wait, you, what? Like, it's a really strange one, because when you see it on foot and then you kind of realise what it is, I don't think people realise how good that shoe was when it released.
I completely underestimated this shoe. When it released, yeah, I was definitely. Like, you know what? It's a 95. At the time, I still had this weird preconception in my head that 95s probably were for people that are up to no good. But yeah, now looking back on it, this is definitely one that I'm kicking myself that, like, why didn't I try for this shoe?
Definitely. Yeah, very, very underrated. And to be honest, it was really Lorenzo that kind of put me onto them. I think, yeah, he was very good. He has a good eye for 95s, and I just, yeah, I never really clocked them properly, and yeah, more fool me.
Bigger fool for us, Scotty boy. Well, that means that number one, you have the your number one top spot. Again, like we just mentioned there, Foot Patrol 110 Air Max 95. In the middle, you've got the size Air Max 95 20x20. And at the bottom, the CDG 95 in the sort of black and white and grey colourway. Overall, like I said, I agree with your list, Scott. I think a lot of people will. But that CDG pair, I think people are either going to put bottom or top. I don't think that CDG pair goes in the middle, I think, for most people. But hey, let's close the episode out, Scott, with a laugh. Tell us a joke, mate.
There's always such pressure to make you laugh in this situation.
Last week's was terrible as well. Like, it took me a long time to even really think about laughing last week.
It was pretty bad. I don't think this one is much better, to be honest. Why couldn't the lifeguard save the hippie?
Oh no, why?
He was too far out, man.
I do like that one. That was a good one.
They're all awful. I don't know why you're humouring this at this point.
Hey, we're going to keep this going the entire year. Every single week, there's going to be a new dad joke. We don't know if a single listener appreciates this or not, but either way, it's like a little nugget of joy. If you actually get to this part of the episode and you don't turn us off by now, you get rewarded with a dad joke.
Oh, dear.
Well, with that, I'd like to say thank you for listening to the Doubled Up Podcast. Remember, if you like this episode, leave us a 5-star rating and review and share the podcast with your friends and family. Make sure you follow at Doubled Up Podcast on Instagram and use hashtag Doubled Up Pod to be featured on the Instagram page. You can find me, Matt, at Matt_Sibley_ on Instagram. Scott, tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at _SneakerTeacher.
Catch you next week, guys. And as always, peace, Manu-san.
See you later.